1, 2, 3. Make sure I have that set. Yeah. Perfect. Perfectly coordinated.
I did try to time it with you, but Discord.
Ew. I know. Good. Discord lag is real. Hello and welcome on that note to Charisma Potifiers, the show where we do character voices, show you how, and then do an impromptu scene off the top of our heads. My name is Dale, and my favorite sea animal is the sea star because they are so freaking chill. I'm with
Roger Hanna, and seahorses, the men carry the babies. They're the ones that are pregnant.
Now on this next episode of Planet Earth.
Oh, David Attenborough's with us in the studio.
I know. I just pulled that out of nowhere. I was so inspired. Now, we are super excited to be back. We're doing episode 2. It's been way too long. We've been going back and forth with a couple different people. We're excited to have guests on the show in the future. And as schedules are being worked out, for the meantime, Roger and I will be coming at you. We'll be sure to bring you some more perspectives, some different voices, so that you at home have the chance to learn what it takes to get your voice in line with the characters that you want to portray. Because we both know, like, Roger and I comprised opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to certain vocal tools, right? Our vocal ranges are different.
Very different.
And we want to make sure that we continue providing that variety to you at home so that you have some inspiration and some techniques in your back pocket. All right, so for today, we actually threw out another vote for some characters, and our top three, we're going to keep all three of these on the docket for today. The Cowardly Farmer was our number one pick per our audience on Twitter. So I'm planning on keeping that kind of like the big draw for this episode. We're going to be showing you how to do a Cowardly Farmer, but we also have the Stalwart Guard and the Sly Assassin.
Ooh.
Without any further ado, let's roll initiative. This is a new little dingy that we're doing for our episodes. We're going to be rolling a d20, and whoever has the highest initiative will be able to pick a character voice out of the three that we have. And from there, we will go and see how things play out with this scene. So, Roger, on
yes.
The count of three,
mm-hmm.
Discord lag notwithstanding. 1, 2, 3, roll. Oh man, I got pretty good. I will let you go first, sir.
I got a 17.
No kidding? I got a 17.
Oh no, it's a roll off.
Rollies right now.
That time I got an 8.
I got a 19 that time.
Okay.
That was cool. That was great. I like that a lot. Okay. So, because I got that first one, I'm thinking that I'm going to lean... We actually talked about this before we started recording. I'm nervous about doing the Cowardly Farmer. And the Stalwart Guard is very appealing. The Sly Assassin is also really cool sounding. I honestly think that I want to stick with the Cowardly Farmer, though. I want to try and stretch myself to make it seem... maybe offer it something interesting and different this go around. So I'm going to stick with Cowardly Farmer to start off, which means you have a pick between Stalwart Guard or Sly Assassin.
Thinking of whatever scene we plan on doing, Sly Assassin, I feel... would be either the reason that the farmer is cowardly or like afraid, whereas the stalwart guard, you know, could be trying to enlist the farmer in some kind of aid, and the farmer's like, oh, I got no part in this.
Right.
I do like, as far as characters go, I think I'm gonna go stalwart guard.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think
that's what I'm gonna
That'd
go
be
for.
Cool. So we have the Cowardly Farmer meets the Stalwart Guard. We're not really sure how we're going to get into this scene, but we're going to decide that right now. Earlier, we kind of shared some thoughts on how we wanted to do this scene, which here meant that I kind of Googled some ideas and dropped them into a potential rollies off.
Yes.
But here's how we're going to do this, Roger. I have two D6s, one for our purpose, like the farmer's goal, per se, and then the other for the unique challenge that comes their way. So I'm using my heavy metal dice here for the farmer's goal.
Okay.
To start off with, all right? That is a 6, which means it's a reroll, because there's only 5.
Oh, there is only 5.
Yeah. So, 2. I got 2. So I'm looking to expand my farm.
Expansion's important.
We're going to try and expand my farm. Now, over here... Oh, frick. While I'm doing this, why don't you introduce the...
Oh, we did it again!
People. I keep forgetting! Okay.
So, hi, we're Charisma Potifiers. If you want to engage with us on Twitter, you can do so under the hashtag ChamadPod, bro. That's C-H-A-M-A. Wait, M-A? ChamadPod. No, that's C-H-A-M-O-D-P-O-D.
Yeah, bro. Totally righteous.
Chamad Pod.
Chamad Pod.
Hashtag Chamad Pod. And we'll see everything that you're saying to us, I think. I mean, at least
right.
At least Dale will.
For now, though, let's jump first into our voice breakdown.
Last week was... the last episode was very pinpoint, right? There were only so many directions you can go. Whereas Stalwart Guard, the only thing that we have to go off of is Stalwart, right? Someone, you know, somewhat stern, you know, very, you know, sure of himself. It could be, they could sound like anything. It's more about how you carry the voice, right?
Right.
The word guard, I would say, isn't used very often anymore, so I am imagining this character to be somewhat older, like, in history. And he's, again, this is my thoughts, is that...
Right.
He has a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency, and he needs this farmer to... he needs his land. We have a grand total of 6, actually. We have 6 bandits on the way. And, your land is a perfect, bottleneck to keep them at bay from, an escort we have of some royalty traveling on the main road.
That's excellent. Okay, and in response to that, we're kind of almost doing role play and break down the voice as well, which I do appreciate. So why don't we jump in with that?
Mm.
For the cowardly farmer, I'm going to lay into a stereotype that a lot of times people will associate with people with my kind of a voice. They're deeper, kind of the more resonant, deeper kind of voices. And you can, this isn't to say that all people with deep voices can only do this, right? In fiction, I know that we've seen some things like that, but one of my favorite things to do is find the stereotype and turn it on its head.
There you go.
So, if I was to go kind of deeper down here and make my voice sound a little bit grittier and be like, that's not really what I wanted to do in the first place. Please, slow down. You're bringing your horses all through my petunias. Come on. That kind of a thing. Just make him seem vocally and auditory-wise, make him seem like this presence, but in reality, he's just this kind of mouse.
Yeah.
The voice is big, but I'm going to try... You'll see me here on video, Roger. You'll see me kind of trying to shrink myself down to try and reflect that physicality of this character. It's almost like he might be a dwarf who used to be an adventurer, but kind of stopped adventuring.
Right. Pulled out of that life.
Leave that up for discovery later, but... In another life, he was doing one thing or another. So with those things in mind, I think I'm gonna, I'll pretty much kind of stick with this one. And again, off the top of our heads, because that's how we do things in this game. What is your guard's name, Roger?
Sir Elliot.
Sir Elliot. That sounds great.
Yes, I am Sir Elliot. Elliot, sorry.
Elliot a little. I felt that.
I was stricken as a child. I suffer from a stutter at times.
Do we want to go back to Fartknockery? Do we want to go to a different land? We're going to create an entire canon within the realm of Fartknockery.
As Harrington.
As Harrington. I'm going to say that real fast.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a PG show. It's about donkeys.
It's PG. Totally, yeah, PG.
The town was named after
donkey. No one will get it. No one will get it unless they get it.
Right.
In the realm of Asserrington, there lies many rolling hills full of lush green pine forests. And nestled amongst these forests, kind of in a glade in between two hillsides, there is a farm. And a gentle stream winds and ebbs and flows through this little countryside, and it goes past a small cabin. Now the stream is powerful enough to move this modest little mill, and the mill is actually what's kind of generating the flour, which is the main source of income for this farmer. I'm gonna leave the name up in the air, and I will discover that with you, Roger, as we introduce your character. But it is a gorgeous day. The sun has just come up over the horizon. There are birds tweeting. When a stern knight, riding forward on his war horse in preparation for an incoming invasion. These raiders, these six raiders that we've mentioned, are actually a scouting party for a much larger force. And because of that, he is doing the best that he can to find the best strategic location. When he sees two hillsides, he can't but think that this is exactly where they're going. And nestled between these two hills is one singular cabin with a gentle stream of smoke coming out of the chimney on this idyllic morning.
Lovely.
And as you're galloping forward, you're ushering on your war horse. As he's trying to get closer and closer. And eventually you do, you arrive, you jump off of your horse and you stride confidently up to the front door. You notice though that this cabin, for all its simplicity and charm, it's actually smaller than you are tall. So you kind of have to stoop a little bit to peek underneath the eaves.
Right, yeah.
Before you reach over and...
Houseman! The Royal Guard here. I am in need of your assistance.
1 second.
And you hear the ka-doom, 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 ka-doom coming up to the front door. And eventually, you see a grubby, ill-kept beard, first and foremost. Nothing like yours, Roger. This one is gnarled. It has, you're pretty sure there's something living in there. It looks like a bird's nest.
Okay.
But you look at this diminutive person, this dwarf, you would assume, as he looks up at you with big brown eyes and an enormous, almost bulbous nose. And he looks at you, his eyes widen.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Farmer, I am Sir Elliot. And, it would seem that you're... little plot of land here is a prime location for an ambush, and we would like to ambush that ambush. So what I'm going to need you to do is to help us kind of get a survey of what exactly needs to be done, where some of us can be positioned, strategic things, and I assume you would
you
know
do this
land.
Often, sir. This is quite the pitch you're throwing my way.
It's not necessary to do it often. I spend most of my time in a castle.
Well, I couldn't tell. It's a pleasure to serve the Empire. And why don't I take you on a little walk around here, and I'll show you the ropes.
Is there anyone else in the house?
Currently, no. It's just me. I mean, you can take a look if you want to.
We don't have enough time. But yes.
All right.
Show me any advantages or high points that you have.
And you see, he gives you kind of a side eye when you say high points.
You understand.
Yeah, right away, sir. Let me just get up here real quick. And you notice as he starts stepping out the door that ka-dum, ka-dum, is actually a huge boot and a single peg leg.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought was going on.
So he starts walking out the door with you across the tiny little patio, front porch kind of situation. And he kind of like shuffles, shambles, and lowers himself on one foot down to the steps.
Come on this way. Do you know how close they are?
Right now, all we know is they come in numbers of just under 10. Not necessarily where they come from. All is that they will be coming from these pines.
Gotcha. Okay. So what direction? We talking like away from this funnel, or are we talking the hillside?
If they were wise, they would come from the hills, but brigands these days. Always the fool.
I suppose so. Some brigands like living in the woods, but hey, we're gonna figure this out together now, aren't we?
And he kind of gives you another sideways look. And he takes you to the stream, and you'll notice that he starts pointing out that the shrubbery around here actually has some tall brush that you might potentially be able to hide in. But I'm actually going to offer you a challenge right now. I want you, using a survival per se, to see whether or not this brush is suitable for your men to hide in, or if it would be a dead giveaway.
That's a 6. Oh no, I lied.
A 6?
It's a 9, but...
9? Okay. It's pretty much the same difference. You look at it and you're not quite sure, but you start leaning more towards this isn't going to be sufficient for what we need.
Farmer, did you have a name?
Grendel.
Grendel. Yes. Unfortunately, this brush is going to almost show off how bright and shiny my men's armor is. Perhaps.
You know what? There used to be a little knoll over just over this way. Not the wolf kind, not
of
the
course.
Hyena knoll kind of thing. It's just come follow me.
And he takes you over to a separate knoll, almost in a triangle away from the cabin and the spot he just showed you next to the riverside. This knoll, and it's funny, as you're hobbling around, you see this guy kind of arrives at this knoll and is then, he kind of hunkers himself down, and he's stocky, he's big, but he pretty much disappears as he fits in it's almost heart-shaped, this knoll, and right where the little bumps of the heart meet, that's where he ducks down, and even from your side, you cannot tell he was ever there.
This could be used to our advantage. I'm not sure any of my men will be able to fit there, but perhaps you. I think you...
I pop my head up.
...might be exactly what we need in this ambush of ambush.
Wait, what?
You stay right there. I need time to wait a minute.
I didn't realize I was going to get roped into I'm too old for this. You see this peg leg of mine?
Yes, I assumed you were a veteran.
His eyes kind of drop. I was a veteran. I was an adventurer, you could say, but I left that behind me. There's some stuff back there that I don't want. That's a chest I don't want to open, if you know what I mean.
Well, that chest will be very full of royal gold if you were to assist us. And perhaps even a commendation from the king.
His jaw kind of goes slack. And you see him struggle. His jaw is kind of inching side to side. His eyes roll towards the heavens, looking one way and the next.
Roll a dexterity saving throw!
Okay. Okay! That's a 4.
So I got an 18.
Oh, jeez.
In the midst of, you said it was Grendel, was his name?
Grendel, yes.
In the midst of Grendel's contemplation on, I could really use that kind of money. My farm is not the size that I'd like it to be. I could even probably hire a hand or two to help me out. My leg isn't what it used to be. It's not even with me anymore. As he's mulling all of these things over, a volley of arrows comes through the pine limbs and down onto us. The knight, this stalwart guard, simply hears the arrows as they hit the pine needles on their way down and lifts his shield. With a 4, unfortunately, I'm gonna go ahead and say that Grendel maybe caught one to the hand.
Okay. Which is interesting because I imagine him as scratching the back of his head.
Oh.
So that hand literally saved his life.
He's got thick.
And maybe the people that
hands.
Were shooting.
Yeah.
Yes. They weren't anticipating him reaching for his head when they fired,
there
but
you go.
He did. And it managed. He just goes, ah! And he immediately looks up to the forest. And from there, with not a lot of grace, he throws himself into a somersault, like, tries once, and then finally somersaults over this little knoll to the other side away from the arrows, and starts clomping it back to his cabin.
Right.
He's like, get out of here! And that's all he says, is just starts yelling at your guy to get out of here.
It's Sir Elliot follows shortly behind.
It would seem that they arrived a little earlier than I anticipated.
You think?
And at that point, he's able to, he's kind of relying on the soldier behind him as his
yes.
human meat shield, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he's
but as soon as he gets back,
pretty armored, so.
Yeah. As soon as he gets back to his cabin, he'll actually somersault, roll onto his porch again, just to avoid the steps. And he'll crawl in on hands and knees into the house where he will then stand, but kind of hunch himself over and kind of shuffle over to the other side, where he reaches up with a trembling hand and grabs, as the knight is looking in, I'm assuming. I actually want you to roll a perception check really quick.
Perception check. That's a 6. He's
six?
Busy looking for the brigands as they come from the woods.
That's perfect. As that happens, you barely, coasting off of your earlier roll, you barely hear another arrow incoming. With enough time to move something, it could be your head, your body, what do you choose to move right now?
Head. Head's pretty important, I feel.
Okay, so you're able to kind of shoot your head back just as an arrow. The feather literally cuts a small line across the bridge of your nose. And as it into the wall of this cabin, you brandish your sword. You finally brandish your sword. You brandish your shield. And then, out of nowhere, you hear a half-giant storm from the forest, literally in the forest side close to the cabin. They were anticipating someone being in the cabin. So as soon as you show your face as a knight, he's going for you. I'm going to have you roll a strength check to see how this rolls. Rather than rolling an actual full attack, we're just going to see whose strength is bigger and how this plays out. Oof, what did you roll?
Mine's a 10.
Yours is a 10?
Yeah.
Which is awesome because I rolled a natural 1.
Oh.
As you come together, he swings and misses you altogether, you are already in evasion mode with that arrow. So you duck to one side with your shoulder, and from there, because it's just a 10, I'm going to say that you hit him on the back of the head with the pommel of your sword.
Right.
Boom! And he stumbles to the ground and he's trying to gather himself again. At this point, you hear, "Forgotten Country!" And this dwarf screams out of his house, literally leaping off of his porch with a battle axe that is as tall as he is, not just the heft, not just the handle of this thing,
right.
The blade itself
massive.
Starts at the top and winds itself almost down to the bottom of that handle.
Cool.
This is his weapon. And he uses this and comes down over the top of this giant. If you would, I'm going to roll for my character. Would you roll for the giant for me?
Absolutely.
Oof. I rolled a 5.
That giant got a 19.
Okay, so I'll have you describe.
So this giant, he's just failed an attack against the knight. He just got struck on the back of the head. I mean, he's now more focused, right? He came in sloppy, and he knows, okay, this means business. I gotta focus up. And then this dwarf, this hobbling dwarf with a peg leg, comes screaming, really announcing his presence out of his house with the biggest weapon you've ever seen a dwarf carry. He comes in and just brings it down, and this giant has enough time to simply move out of the way and maybe even rear back to prepare an attack.
If you want to roll attack, there's no format here as far as real initiative goes, so if you want to, for the sake of the story, push that, you're free to do so.
Well, I mean, you better roll against it.
Okay, I'm going to roll against it. Oof.
Dang.
Not doing good. That's a 2.
That's a 17.
Shoot, bro. Dang. This ain't good. So you counterattack. What does that look like?
He's sloppy. He's not carrying anything really finesse-wise with him. So he dodges this main attack, and as kind of an insult to, like, who's this? Like, just backhands this...
Oh, dude.
Backhands Grendel back onto his porch.
Ah! He rolls. Ironically enough, he will roll back onto his porch with the force of that hit. It's at this point that I'm going to warn you. You need to make another dexterity save.
Okay. Oh, that's a 9.
That's a 9? You barely miss. 2 more arrows coming your way. As they hit a tree nearby and the wall nearby again. Whoever's in the trees, they are here. Now, in the course of your travels, you were kind of trying to be the envoy of your party, the ambush to the ambush. That is not to say that your party is inept and they are back behind you with no information about where you are. So, I'm going to give us another 2 rolls to survive before your friends get there.
I see.
And successfully execute this ambush of ambushes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so... each of these 2 characters, our main characters, have to survive this, well, together. Not together. Your guy or my guy has to survive this in order for this counteroffensive to come into effect and to cancel out this attack. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So with that in mind, these guys have just attacked you. I'm going to have you roll once. I'll roll once. You'll roll once. I'll roll once. And we describe what happens and what it looks like. Go ahead and start with your characters, with Elliot's first counteroffensive against these attackers.
First and foremost, dwarf, we take out its legs.
And he's just gonna swing down on this, you said it was a giant or a troll?
Half giant.
He's gonna swing down on, like, the knee down, right? He's gonna just try to take out as much as he can there.
Yeah.
That is an 18.
Excellent. I'm not even going to roll a counteroffensive because that was so good. So as this half giant takes an arrow to the knee. No, it takes a sword to the knee. He is cut down. He drops to a knee. And at that point, he is low enough now for Grendel to not be eye to eye. But since this half giant is now on his hands and knees clutching at that injured knee, he does have a straight shot at his face. So we're going to see how this goes. At a 6, there's not a whole lot that he's going to do. So instead of going for a full-blown attack, he's pissed. He's tired. He hasn't done this in decades. He's going to get level with this half-giant. Piss off. And we'll backhand him right
back. Yeah, he's going to get...
So Awesome. So now we, at this point, I'm going to describe this for you so you know what's going on in my head. We have... a pillar, a column of dust rising over the next knoll, the hill that you just came from.
Yeah.
And you hear, you recognize trumpets, imperial trumpets. It's at this point that you start to realize that your friends are coming, but so do the attackers. And they know that if you get word off that they were here, they're screwed. So they're coming at you hard right now. I'm gonna roll for these guys. These guys are off in the woods, by the way. That's a 14, frick. So I will say one arrow comes your way if you wanna try and dodge, or I can't say you can't counter because you're not a monk.
I'm just gonna hide behind the giant.
Oh, dude! That's incredible. So this giant has just become your meat shield.
Yep.
You duck behind just as thunk, thunk, two more. This half giant is no longer stunned, but he's really pissed and in a lot of pain. He just got exactly. The thought comes to mind that Grenda would look up and be like, "Must suck to suck, huh, pal?" And that's how that's gonna roll. Awesome.
It would seem the cavalry's finally arrived. Dwarf, if you want to focus the giant, we'll take care of the archers.
Oh, that sounds mighty fine.
And at that point, he will, let's do two more rolls to see if we survive this. He's actually gonna roll for the half giant again, and I believe this time he's gonna be bringing in the axe.
Okay.
That is a 17. So, PG-13 here. How would you describe a 17 for this part?
So this giant has been brought down to his knees. It's humiliating. And then two arrows are now sticking out of his back in different places. Not deep enough to do any kind of internal damage. And he rears up. His arms are up in the air. His allies just shot him. He's pissed. And he brings his fists back down in anger, and he hit the ground. And just beyond his fists, a couple inches away, are the feet of this dwarven, once somewhat cowardly farmer, who had just backhanded him in the most insulting way. He's PG-13.
Yes.
I think it would just be simple enough to say that what they call it. Like, there's a beard to an axe. I don't know if there's a word for the ones that come
up. Yeah. Right, yes.
But the point, what would be, I guess, like the spear end of the axe, he brings up and back like this and just kind of runs it up through the jaw of this giant.
Love it. That's so good. So as that happens, he is using most of his strength at this point just to stay on his one good leg. And he's kind of hobbling a little bit until finally the giant kind of falls over the top of him. We're going to pause on that one for a moment. We're going to give your character, Sir Elliot, one more roll. What do you want to do? You see the cavalry is coming. Go ahead.
I think he's just going to bolster his men. I think it's just going to be like one, like, sword in the air, shield to his side, you know, for the king! And
make one more perception check.
Okay. That's a 4.
4? Okay, I can work with this. As you see coming around the corner, he's close enough now. You know that this path kind of winds. He is close enough now to be within 100 yards of you. And you know that this sounds like your entire party is on its way. So you're expecting, we'll call it 5 other men on war horses.
Okay.
You see one man leading 5 war horses. And you're thinking, what's going on? And then you realize, you hear, ah, ah! All the forest comes alive with the rest of your party as they have snuck around the outside to now ambush the rest of the party. As you're standing there, you see your elven, well, we'll say she, this elven woman stands up, knocks an arrow, looses three arrows at once, and hits not just one of the archers in the forest, but the other archer that was giving you a particularly hard time. Twice, once in the head, once in the heart. Now,
efficient.
There's also, yes, there is a scale folk, kind of the dragonborn of this world, that then careens out of the hills, somersaulting, his scales kind of like the treads of a tire. When all of a sudden, when he leaps out of that, he becomes an enormous purple and black striped tiger with golden eyes, raking down on top of another soldier type guy that you hadn't seen yet. Raking down, crushing down on top of him, and for the sake of the PG-13, the violence is obscured by brush and stuff as he starts. It's very Jurassic Park type stuff going on.
Yes. A bush is shaking violently.
Yes. Oh, it's so violent. Oh, no. Leave it up to the imagination. At that point, we also have one more coming almost directly behind the cabin. You hear the sound of electricity crackling, and then you spot a drow levitating over the top of the cabin that then holds out his hand and sends a bolt of lightning into the Goliath below. The Goliath is down. The Goliath is charred. He's not burnt crispy, but he is definitely blackened from the force and energy of that impact.
Right.
And with that, the conflict comes to an end. Your men are up in the hills, resting, because they've just been sprinting for the past few minutes, trying to catch up while you were getting things arranged. But that leaves Grendel, who you don't know where he is.
Dwarf? Grendel? Farmer Grendel, are you here?
It's at that point that you start to hear...
Oh no.
I'm under here!
Sir Elliot grabs one of the arms of this this massive thing and just lifts with all of his might and does one of the, you know, like the people that work out, that do like CrossFit, they flip a tire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does to this half-giant.
Yes! Half-giant rolls over onto his back, and beneath you see a blackened dwarf whose eyes are so big, it's literally the only whites on his entire blackened frame because of the electrical impact.
Oh, right.
And you see, you look up, and he's...
Let's not do that again.
Starts coughing up, and smoke comes out.
Give me your hand.
So they, they grab hands, and he lifts him up.
After all this, I'd say you've probably earned yourself a new leg.
How do you mean? That's over 10,000 gold by my last count.
Well, then you might have at least 4 or 5 new legs to choose from.
And he jaw drops.
There's just in the distance, there's a... Like, you can get a glimpse of the main road. It's not incredibly clear. You catch this gleam, this very bright reflection of gold. And as Grendel looks over, there is, the most opulent chariot. Like, this carriage. Not chariot. Carriage that he's ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sir Elliot looks at him and he's like, or at least if I have anything to say about it.
9 hells.
And I think that's a good place to end off on that one.
That's a good ending. Yeah.
That was great, dude. Yeah. That was fantastic. Thanks, Roger. That was awesome. Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
No, I do like the fiction we're building here. It's fun. These characters are neat.
What was the name of the country? I've even forgotten that. I apologize.
As Harrington.
Yes. As Harrington.
On paper, it might look like a Sherrington, but...
Yep.
Right.
Let's say it correctly, as the Brits might say.
As the Brits might say.
Yeah. That was a ton of fun. I loved that. That was its own little story. That was a lot of fun. All right. Well, thanks you guys so much. I kind of don't want this to end, but we do need to bring it to an end so that you guys can get on with your lives and we can get back to making some other character voices. So, for the sake of our closing, we will reintroduce ourselves and our characters using our character voices. If you have any questions about how we did these voices, feel free to reach out on any of our social media.
This has been Dale. I have been portraying Grendel the Dwarf, retired adventuring dwarf.
And I am Roger Hanna, portraying Sir Elliot, the Gallant Knight.
Excellent. For today, I will be taking on our sponsor. Our not sponsor for this episode is the Spotlight Hog. Those people that love to steal the spotlight from others, they are not our sponsor for today. I feel like I tried to do the best I could to spotlight Roger when it felt natural, and I felt that Roger did the same for me. So, Roger, thank you so very much for our not sponsor today.
Yes.
If you want to catch us on any of our socials, Roger, where can people find you? Go ahead and just spell it out. We'll also have it in the show notes, but for now, spell it out.
On Twitter, you can at WRODGER, or oh gosh, is it OR? I forgot my own Twitter.
I remember ER.
Okay, so it's WRODGUR.
Never mind.
Right. It's Roger, spelt in an extremely phonetic way. So.
Excellent. Awesome. And as for me, you can find me on most, if not all, popular socials, I'll say it that way.
Sure.
With Write on Dale. WRITEONDALE. Once again, thank you so much for listening to Charisma Podifiers. Keep a lookout on our social media for the next survey where we will ask you guys what you thought of the show, as well as what kind of character voices you would like to hear in the future. Either a breakdown, or maybe if we stop doing characters, we might focus on races or classes. It's really up to you. This is as much your show as it is ours.
And
so let us know what you think. Let us know what you want. Go ahead.
If you're listening and you've got some kind of TTRPG or you're making some kind of content that involves a character in mind, and you want to know what our takes on that character's voice could be, then you know, pitch that, and we might talk about it in an episode. So
we'd love that. We'd love to do that for you. It's so much fun doing this. Again, I've been Dale, and
I've been Roger.
Thanks, you guys, so much. We'll catch you on the next one.
Chamod Pod.